Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. On this broadcast, we are having part two of a message from John Paul Jackson. The message title is The Difference Between Power and Authority. And if you don't know that, my friend, you could be lost in this world today, not understanding why things are not working, even though you feel you have the power to do them and God's Word says you can do them. But maybe you're lacking in the authority, the God-given authority. So once again, let's jump into the middle of John Paul Jackson's message. We're going to repeat a little bit from part one. Here we go, John Paul Jackson.
So, authority then. How do we get authority? Yes, you get close to God. How do you get close to God? Well, here's a little key we need to understand. You don't get closer to God by disobeying Him. Pretty simple. You get closer to God by obedience. When you disobey, you distance yourself from Him. It doesn't mean He loves you less, but it certainly means you're not close. So, man lost his authority in the garden through disobedience. Satan lost his authority in heaven through disobedience. He was removed from heaven. Now, when he was removed, two things happened to Satan himself. One, he was a radiant being because he was close to God and he absorbed God's light. Like Moses, up on the mountain, absorbed the light of God, comes down from the mountain, radiating God's light so strongly that they ask him to cover his head because it's hurting their eyes. So the closer you get to God, you absorb that. Satan had absorbed that light. But here's the opposite end. When you are removed from God, the light dims because you're removed from the source. With Satan, he not only was removed from God, he is continually being removed from him. And that's why you find in Scripture, there is darkness, deep darkness, gross darkness, outer darkness, each describing an increasing distance from God. It's not just Satan left God. He is continually leaving God. Picture this. You're up in space and you get jettisoned out of your spaceship. You just keep going and going and going. That's what's happening with Satan. Now, not only is he getting darker, he left the source of life. And in leaving the source of life, then he began to deteriorate the further away from God he got. So the once glorious visage that he had now is getting shriveled and prune-like. And that's why in Scripture it reads, it says this, Isaiah says, "And the men will say of you, you are the one who caused all this?" It's like, look at you, shriveled, nothing. How did you cause all this? Because his current glory is not near what his former glory was. And if you can even say he has a glory. Sometimes a lack of glory is a glory. It's like negative glory. So authority is a result of obedience. So when we obey, then we draw closer. When we obey, we get closer to him. Man lost his authority through disobedience, and therefore, how did he do that? How did man lose his authority? Because here's how. God said, don't eat of that tree. Here's the rules of the garden. Eat of everything you see except that tree. Don't eat of that tree. You can eat of everything, don't eat of that tree. Very, very simple. It's not like complex. This is not like rocket science here. Don't eat that tree, eat of that tree. So what does man do? Eats of that tree. Disobedience. And why did he eat of that tree? He ate of that tree because he believed what Satan said, our serpent, more than God. He chose this lie over this truth. I can become like God. I can know as much as God. God doesn't want me to know as much as him. God doesn't want me to be like him. Therefore, God's hiding all this knowledge and everything from me by telling me, don't eat of that tree. So man, in believing Satan, then lost his authority with God. And guess who got that authority? Satan got the authority. How do we know Satan got that authority? Luke chapter 4. Jesus returns from the wilderness, returns from being tempted for 40 days. In his final, like at the very end of that time period, Satan appears to him. And does three things. He tempts Jesus with the same three things he tempted Adam and Eve with. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And he tempts him this way. He says, can't make these stones bread. There's lust of the flesh. Cast yourself down from here and the angels will catch you. Pride of life. And see, oh, by the way, take a look and see all of this out there. All these kingdoms. See all these kingdoms and their glory. I will give you all this authority because it's been delivered to me. I will give you what? All this authority over all these cities and everything because it's been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? Adam and Eve in the garden. For 4,000 years, he had authority over the earth. All the kingdoms, all the cities, everything, he had the authority over. Lust of the eyes, by the way. See eyes, all these kingdoms. And their authority, I'll give it to you. So Adam and Eve had authority over the earth. Satan lost authority when he fell to the earth. Satan wanted that authority, so he said, if I can get the authority of man, at least I have some authority. So he deceives man, gets the authority, and now Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes, how does he come? He says this, I come in the authority of my Father. Didn't say his authority. I come in the authority of my Father. When asked, by what authority do you do these things? I come in the authority of my Father. I come in the authority of my Father. More than a dozen times we hear Jesus say in the Gospels, I come in the authority of my Father, until Matthew 28, after his resurrection, after he descended, presented himself, got the keys to death, hell, and the grave, ascended to the Father, and now he's standing in front of the disciples, and he says this, major change. He says, he doesn't say, I come in the authority of my Father. He says, all authority has been given to me. I now have all authority. Now, he didn't say I have all power, did he? He said I have all authority. Now, he has supreme power, absolutely. Remember, power is a gift. And he won't take it back. Gifts and callings are irrevocable. So the gifts, he won't take that gift back. But authority is greater than power, we're going to see in a minute. So, Jesus gained. Let's back up a little bit. We talked about authority. We talked about the end. All authority has been given to me. We talked about the beginning. I come in the authority of my Father. How did this shift start happening? How did this take place? Well, just as man lost his authority, Jesus gained authority. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, we see this. In verses 5 through 8, it talks about his ultimate obedience. And in verses 9 through 11, it talks about the result of ultimate obedience. So Paul wrote to the Philippians in this way. He said this, let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The result is, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So we find out obedience. What did he have to do? He came fully as man because he had to redeem mankind. He couldn't come as God to redeem man. He had to come as man to redeem man, to reveal to man what mankind was capable of. If he came as God, everybody would say, well, you're God. That's why you did it. Yes, I know he's fully God, but he was fully man. Absolutely, totally man. Absolutely, totally God. But he came and he functioned as a man. And he let us know, because I'm here as a man, what I do, you can do. What I do, you are capable of doing. I am not here as God. I am not going to use my deity in order to overcome anything. I have emptied myself of my deity. In fact, he so emptied himself of his deity, no one recognized him as God when he came. He gave up the glory and the power and the status that he had when he was with the Father. And in fact, even his disciples, it took them over a year to recognize that he was the Son of the living God. And that was by divine revelation. When Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God, the Christ. And all the spiritual leaders of the time treated him as a mere man, an ordinary person of this world. And so as a son, he willingly submitted himself to the Father's authority and always declared, the Father is greater than I. The Father is greater than I. Here's a thought I've had. I suspect it was harder for Christ to become obedient than for you and me. See, we think all we need is a little humility to be obedient. Christ not only had to be humble, he humbled himself, the scripture says. He had to give up everything. He's standing on earth, Satan is tempting him, and he's thinking, I made you. And you're tempting me. All things above the earth, on the earth, beneath the earth, things visible, things invisible, he made. That's what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. I made you, and now you're tempting me. If I'm Jesus, I'd want to go, bam. That alone proved he was a special man. So Jesus agreed with the Father to take on the form of a slave before he was even qualified to begin the process of obedience. So he had to give up to become a slave to then obey as man. And the result of that was that he was given a name, the highest authority possible, that everything, everyone would bow towards him and every tongue would confess that he is Lord. So to take on the nature of Jesus, see, I have so many people say, I'm taking on the nature of Jesus. I'm taking on the nature of Jesus. But I don't see the obedient heart in there, because the very fabric of the heart of Jesus, the nature of Jesus, is the fabric of obedience. Even when we don't like it. Even when we think it's going to hurt us. Well, this would hurt me. If I told the truth, it would really hurt me. If I really said it like this, it would really hurt me. But Jesus, how much more could you hurt than he hurt? He sweat drops of blood for you. His heart was broken, mingled with water and blood for you. Not to mention his flesh was nearly stripped from his body for you. That is nothing. Your pain, our pain, is nothing compared to what he went through. He was not born obedient. He had to learn obedience. The Bible says that. I didn't write it. In the process of that, he was perfected as a human being. Now notice, he was not perfected as a God. He was already perfect as God, but he was perfected as a human being. It's important because he had to be blameless when he stood before Satan. See, Paul writes something very important in Ephesians, and he says this, what does it mean except he descended before he ascended? He descended, why? Because he like every man before him, had to present himself to the one who had authority over the earth. Who had that authority? Satan. Jesus had to descend to present himself to Satan. How did he present himself? In essence, he said this, examine me. Look at me. Look at my life. Have I ever in any way had anything in common with you? See, I see so many people, and I talk to pastors saying, and pastors meeting and said, how many of you, Paul talks about making ourselves slaves of righteousness. When's the last time you did a sermon on being a slave of righteousness? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not our righteousness, His righteousness. The nature of Christ, the obedience of Christ. Obedience then is righteousness. When's the last time we talked like this? We heard something like this. We as pastors have preached something like this. How many times do we tell our people, what can it take? How close can we walk on the edge of the kingdom and not fall off? So we can brush shoulders with darkness on this side and brush shoulders with light on this side. But you see, the problem with that is I have something in common with darkness on this side. I have something in common with light on this side. And Jesus said, I have nothing in common with you. So when Jesus stood before Satan, he said to him, I've never submitted to you in any way. I have nothing in common with you. And examine me. I am without sin. And by the way, you are not without sin. Therefore, give me the key. I am without sin. You are not without sin. Give me the key. And Jesus took them. If Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered, why are we so pain avoidant prone? Why are we so prone to pain avoidance? I've learned that if I don't have difficulty getting someplace or getting home from someplace, Satan must not have cared I was there. And that's not good. That's not good. If he doesn't care, then why am I here? I want him to care when I go someplace. I want him to go, oh no, oh no. I don't want him to go, so what? I want him to care. So I was very happy when the flight here yesterday was very bumpy the whole way. I want to talk to you a little bit more about obedience, and then we'll go on. Because see, there's a higher level of obedience. You can be obedient and not have a good attitude. But there's a higher level of obedience. And that higher level of obedience is called submission. It's submission. And it has to do with the heart. It's the difference, you might look at it like this. There's a little boy, and he's in his mother's house. He's in the house, and he's eating breakfast, and he's standing up and eating breakfast. And his mother says, son, sit down in your chair and eat. And he goes, no. The mother says, son, sit down in your chair and eat your breakfast. No. Son. And she walks over to him, grabs his shoulders, sit down in your chair, eat your breakfast. And as she walks away, the little boy says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Now, this is us sometimes. We're obedient on the outside, but on the inside, we're angry or we're rebellious. You see, Jesus had obedience both. One's called obedience, the inside is called submission. Submission. We submit to God, we submit to Him. Our attitude remains intact. And the only way you can submit to God, have a good attitude, is by close proximity to Him. We can obey out here. We can never submit out here. We will only submit when we're close to Him. And that key is the key in Jesus. I will do what God asks me with gladness, because I know God would not have me do it if it wasn't important in the great scheme of the kingdom. Moses had done all these miracles, and he's standing in front of God saying, I've done all these miracles, and I have no clue who you are. This is the Moses who held out the rod, and the water split, and the land was dry instantaneously. This is the Moses that lifted the rod, and the waters closed. It's the Moses that struck the rock, and the water came out. I think there's a lot of us like that. We've seen miracles happen, but we're not really, really cognizant of who God is. So what we want to do is we want to be able to come to a place where that we're aware of who He is. We want to know His ways. And knowing His ways, obedience, going to submission, getting closer to God, teaches us His ways. Teaches us this. These are the ways of God, and we don't find them through disobedience. And we don't find them a distance from Him. We find them walking close to Him, obedient to Him, working through submission to Him, and then we find the ways of God coming to us. Moses thought they were so valuable, he would have given up everything here to find this way of God. That's value. That's authority. And submission is where authority can happen. You won't find authority of disobedience. And you won't find authority in a life of obedience with a bad attitude. You'll always know how much authority you have by what happens when you get near darkness. I'm in Salem, Massachusetts, and it's during a season called Haunted Happenings. Haunted Happenings is where around the 10 days prior to Halloween, there will be 400,000 witches come to Salem, go through Salem in a 10-day period. 400,000 from all over the world. I had this opportunity to dialogue with the head witch of New England. And so we're talking, and as we're talking, and face to face, he turns his back to me. And he keeps talking to me. And I keep talking to him, and I'm thinking, well, what's going on here? And a few minutes later, he says, look, I'm sorry that I've turned away from you. He says, I'm not trying to be rude. He said, but there is so much light coming from you that it hurts my eyes. And I hear these voices, and they say to me, cursing, cursing, cursing. And he said, but I feel so much love coming from you. You're such a nice man. I don't want to curse you. He said, so I'm just, if you don't mind, I'm going to continue our conversation not looking at you. Is that okay? And I go, sure. Yeah, that's okay. Sure. Now, why do I tell you that? Because I know, and it's not John Paul Jackson. It is not him at all. It's every one of us who, the closer we get to the Lord, the brighter will shine. And those in darkness will see it. And they will begin to shriek when you walk by. I mean, when I was in Salem, it's like the parting of the waters as I walk through the streets. You walk through the streets and hissing and, you know, and cursing and looking at you and like threatening you, and you just kind of walk and they just kind of part. Darkness will recognize light. Darkness cannot stand light. Light dispels darkness. In every case, light dispels darkness. What we want is greater light. We want greater obedience, and we get that by submission. That will bring the highest form of authority in our lives. In the scripture, 2 Kings chapter 3, there's a detail, a story about an encounter where Israel has been marching through the land of Moab. And as they march through the land of Moab, they're defeating all the enemies, taking all the cities and everything. And they finally come to the capital of Moab, where the king of Moab resides. They walk in, they're taking the capital, they're about to defeat everything and take this final city, and something strange happens. The king of Moab takes his oldest son, who is going to be king after him. He takes him on the wall and kills him and offers him as a burnt sacrifice to Molech. And the army of Israel was defeated. Why? Why? See, in the ways of God, there's always a why. And here's the why. Because the king of Moab was more submitted to darkness than Israel was to God. And the only time darkness wins is when we find darkness is more submitted to their God than we are to ours. See, in a way, I love what Graham said. But a great guy. And he preaches with his shoes off. I don't know if you notice this. He takes his shoes off. I've got boots. I don't take these off for nothing. Well, we are far too passive with the majesty of God. And we are. And this passivity, which may even become more apathy to the majesty of God, this passivity is what keeps authority from growing in us, and why we don't see more of God acting than we do. If we had more authority, we would see more shrieking. We'd see more darkness fleeing than we do. It is proximity to God. Passivity will only diminish our authority because it diminishes our proximity to God. Apathy, which is even worse than passivity, even makes it harder. And we somehow, my prayer is that in the process of growing in Him, we recognize passivity is not okay. Apathy is not okay. Obedience is not okay. Submission is okay. It is there where authority comes. Without authority, the church remains voiceless in our country. Without authority, demons won't shriek. Without authority, nothing's going to change. It'll be power against power. And Satan has power because power is a gift and authority is a relationship. So when you look back at the original Greek, and you see exousia and authority. Exousia is authority and power is dunamis. Look at those two basic words. And in every case, you'll find authority, healing took place when Jesus exercised authority. Miracles took place when Jesus exercised power. We need them both, but we need to distinguish between the two and recognize giftedness is power, relationship is authority. Closeness to God, gift of God. Very important. I'll say this one other story. The centurion in the scripture. Remember the centurion? Came to Jesus. Jesus, would you go heal my servant? Jesus says, sure, I'll go. The centurion says something very strange. He says, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. Just say the word. Now, what did he say? For I am a man under authority. I say to this one, do this. I say to my servant, do this. Done. All you have to do, exercise your authority. Done. What did Jesus say? I've not seen such faith in all of Israel. Now that word faith, one of the meanings for the word faith is this. When you look it up, it means understanding of the system. I've not seen such understanding of the system, how it all works. What we've talked about today is helping you understand the system.
That message that you heard today was from the late John Paul Jackson, the founder of Streams Ministry International. For more resources by John Paul Jackson and Streams Ministry, or information about the ongoing ministry of Streams, please visit www.streamsministries.com. Or you can call at 1-888-441-8080. That is a toll-free number. So, my friend, until we meet again, God bless you. I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.